Hello, hello.
Yo, yo, yo.
End of January.
Mm-hmm.
Did January feel extremely long for you, or did it go by real fast?
What January? Like,
really?
the thing about 2024, it's like, it feels like it's July. Like, it feels like it's so much happening. Like, things are just moving. Like, did y'all know we just got here?
Like, literally.
We're still figuring out how it's supposed to feel, and y'all acting like it's December. Like, dude, like, let us enjoy the new calendar flip.
I feel like it's Q3 2024.
Oh, my
and
God.
It's January. I'm like, we just now stopped saying Happy New Year.
I still say it. I'm sorry. I said it today. I had a board meeting today. I was like, listen, y'all gonna be sick of me, but Happy New Year, everybody.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, it is. Yeah, January, because it's the only month that we've been in this year, has felt quite long. Now we're heading into Black History Month. I know, Alan, the last 2 years, you've done a fun fact.
I did my thing.
You've done this fun fact.
Yes.
So get ready. Get ready for the Black History facts.
And culture.
Don't recycle them either.
Nothing recycled. Only so, new.
Going into February.
Yes.
You know what February means also?
My birthday.
There you go.
Come on. And they did this new thing for me where I'm not going to get any older somehow. Like the birthday comes, but somehow I'm the same. So I like that.
That sounds like a Trumpism. Like, y'all just disregarding numbers and facts and dates. So it doesn't work like that. But you sound a little excited. Is that a little
embracing
excited?
I'm embracing it this year.
It's after 9 years or 10 years of me knowing you, because I've known you 10 years this year. But after 10 years of me knowing you and 40 something odd years of your life, you are now embracing it. I like it. Please embrace it.
You know what I'm realizing? I'm like, yo, I'm in my 40s. And I'm like, I know when I turn 50, it's going to feel like I got hit by a truck. So I need to just celebrate these little bit of 40s I got left.
Listen, that doesn't necessarily have to be true. Your 50s could be amazing.
Yeah. No, I the 40 is way better than I thought it would be. That's for sure.
Look at that. And you're more than halfway done.
See, we don't need comments like that. Like, comments like that.
You're on the tail end of them.
Like, comments like that is the reason why I used to not mess with birthdays.
As they're coming to a close.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Whatever, yo.
Well, speaking of things coming to a close, our show today is a market commentary show. And what that typically means is that it's a bit more technical than some of our other shows. But we talk about what has been happening in the market over the last quarter. What are we seeing? What are we thinking? This is advice that we give to all of our clients, like our legitimate Momentum Advisors clients. But we are giving it to you for free. For just, again, the understanding, our technical wealth management, financial advisory, understanding around what's been happening, what we think is going to happen forward, and what you should be looking out for.
So there's somebody out there who wants to know what it feels like to have a financial advisor and to sit down and to hear them prognosticate. Yeah, a little bit of prognostication must go on. And so we're going to go through it as if you guys are our client.
We're not going to prognosticate. Or what?
Making up words.
That's not what we're going to do.
You're going to mutilate, that's for sure. No, but what we're going to do is we're going to go through and really talk about what happened in 2023. What are we expecting for 2024 for your investments? But one thing that's going to be very different, we just do it in a fun way. Like, this ain't like watching CNBC, my guy.
Yeah. And it'll be digestible, and it'll be based off facts. So I know y'all be scrolling social media, and the things that I see on my social media feed, they're just not true. Like, that are about everything, about the market, about investing, that are just blatant lies that have a million likes. Like, y'all have no clue what you're talking about. So yeah. All of this information is based in actual fact and statistics and research. And for those who don't have a financial advisor, if you had one, a great one, this is the type of conversation they'd be having with you on a quarterly basis so that you understand what's happening in your portfolio and what you should be thinking about and how your strategy should shift. If you do have a financial advisor and they don't talk to you about any of this, go on and let them go. Just go ahead and just find another.
Listen, if your financial advisor ain't talking to you like this, come to death row. You don't want them all in the video.
Yeah.
Come over to Momentum Advisors, momentum-advisors.com. We are open for business.
But we are not open for all prospects.
Open for certain business.
Yes, there we go. So yeah, let's get into the market. Let's get into what happened last year and what we think this year is going to look like.
Can we start by just talking about stock market for a minute? The stock market?
I feel like that's expected. I feel like everybody expected that.
Okay. So last year was one of those years where it's like, go on and brush your shoulders off, market. Like last year was like one of those, let's just say wipe me down type of years. Like last year was just a great year. Like give me one. See, what was last year?
No, I don't got one.
Come on, you got one. What kind of year was it last year in stocks?
Definitely, wipe me down is typically my jam. So
okay. I thought you were gonna say bust it open.
Oh my god!
Drop it to the floor. Like last year was a great year. So, and here's what really made it great, right? So we got to realize that 2022 was like absolutely horrible.
Opened up trash. Came out the door. Trash.
2022 just sucked. Like 2022 was literally one of the worst years for investors in a very, very long time.
And I want to put a pin in that, right? Because we talk about this all the time. We always say the difference between investors and trading is time. So if you are in the market in 2022 and you just rode that ride, right? And it was brutal and you stayed in it because you know time is a key part of the formula for investing. Listen, as Alan said, 2023 came.
Wipe me down. So after being down by 18%, and what's crazy is that both bonds and stocks went down in 2022, which really only happens 2% of the time.
That's literally like both teams losing the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like nobody
which,
won.
If the Jets were involved, that could actually happen. Like, thankfully, that won't happen this year.
And you are wearing green.
Listen, I did download an application to become a Ravens fan.
Oh my gosh, it's too late. Inbox is full on that one.
No, I've downloaded it, and apparently I have until this weekend to send it in. And so I'll let you know how that goes. But because 2022 was so bad, what's funny is like people's expectations for 23 were just doom and gloom. Right. We came into 2023. Folks are worried about inflation. You got to realize the Federal Reserve had raised interest rates a ton in 2022. And there was expectation it would continue happening in 2023.
Here's one word I haven't heard in a while.
What's that?
Recession.
Yeah. No, it's still out there. Like
it's
at
still
the time,
out there in a technical sense. But there was a point where like it was
coming up
clear
every day.
Yeah. We're in tragedy. Okay. Mm-hmm. We need to stockpile grain because grain and buy seeds because we're not going to be able to even afford no food.
Yeah.
And y'all been booking trip after trip. Y'all, I haven't heard anybody talk about a recession lately.
Yeah. It was like, if you're lucky enough to still have a mouth after all this, you want to buy some food.
Yeah.
Like,
correct.
And now it's like, what recession?
Now everybody's eating organic.
You see what I'm saying? Now folks are going to the farmer's market and farm to table restaurants.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. Right. Y'all need grass fed beef now. Okay.
And by the way, I am throwing shade because Tiffany is literally getting food delivered from a farm now.
Like, I am.
Where they do that at? Like, you were worried about the economy only a year ago. And now, listen, unless it's farm raised and hand delivered.
Literally.
So a year ago, you were about the recession. Now you're getting nothing but food delivered by the Quakers themselves to the crib, horseback style. Can I just say one other thing? I had the unfortunate occasion of spending time in Tiffany's bougie high-rise building.
In D.C.
And I ordered here's the unfortunate thing. I ordered food multiple times. Every time it got delivered by bike.
So, first of all, it doesn't take longer, right?
Really
so
does.
If it's in within a certain range, the bike is often faster because it's not sitting in traffic and the food sits in like a hot box. So it comes faster and still hot.
Now, look, I know it's better for the environment that the food comes on bike. It's better for the driver's heart, all that. I just, my greedy butt wanted my food a little faster, but I digress. So we started last year with this view that things were going to be bad because they were bad the year before. And that's kind of how our psychology works, isn't it? Like if something bad happened yesterday, I almost expect something bad to happen again today and possibly tomorrow, right? But the opposite really happened, right? What happened in 2023, we actually got one of the best stock market performances since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's almost like when you think it's going to be the worst, sometimes it gets to be the best. Like, that's just how the market goes. Like, this was last year, there was a phrase that this is the most advertised recession in history that has not started yet. What's that saying? Like, my enemies have overestimated my demise. they tried to bury me and they forgot that I was a seed. Like, that's the kind of year we had last year.
And I will say this, we mention this all the time, you cannot time the market, right? So many people just out here pontificating about like, you know, you just got to get out at this time or whatever. Mm-hmm. No one is able to time the market, first of all. And if you are diversely invested in a diversified way, you're not trying to time the market. Like, that's not the way to success. So again, we came into 2023 real weak, real down. I think everybody was just expecting a lot of doom and gloom. And it's been quite a sunny day. Global warming has been warming.
So let's talk about some of the data, some of the things that happened. So inflation was a big worry last year, right? When we went into the beginning of 2023, inflation had been as high as like 9%. And by the beginning of 2023, it was about 6.5%. And we, on these very airwaves, and I'll say you can pull up our receipts, we said that the expectation that we have is that we'll be in the threes by the end of the year. And people thought we were crazy.
But Jerome.
You see what I'm saying? When I bought the Aston Martin, y'all thought
they
it was
thought
leased.
They thought it was leased.
Hater, rest in peace. Okay? Rest in peace in the parking lot. Economy so good it can't even fit in a parking spot.
Oh my gosh. One of our clients and friends and listeners texted us and said, we've been having way too much fun.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. And then people do get mad. Like people that tune into this particular show, like the economy show, they get mad when we're cracking jokes. And it inspires us to crack more jokes. So I'm sorry. Okay, so going back in, some of the things that happened last year, inflation dropped from 6.5 down to 3.7%. The Fed, which had raised interest rates like 7 times in 2022, and most of those rate hikes were by 0.75 point at a time, the Fed only raised rates by 4 times in 2023 and began to plant the seeds that in 2024, they may actually start to cut rates. And now the market is starting to expect rates could go down. Interest rates could go down in the future.
Uh-oh. Who buying a house?
You see what I'm saying?
Y'all
Who
taking
is
out
holding
loans?
Out hope. Yeah.
Right?
I'm telling you right now, like my mortgage ain't the best rate and I can't refi it right now, but I promise you I will be early in line when that time comes. So let's continue on with what happened last year. So stocks were up about 26.5% last year. Stocks in the fourth quarter were up 12% in that one quarter alone. And what's crazy about that is that like it's volatile. The market goes up and down every day, every month, every quarter. But like by the third quarter, things started to look like they were going negative again. And that fourth quarter came and you got literally almost half the returns for the full year in just 3 months in that fourth quarter of the year.
You got to stay in the market. You got to stay invested.
And one big theme in the market last year, which I think is going to continue to be a theme in 2024 and beyond, it's artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And we've kind of been in round one of artificial intelligence. I mean, like ChatGPT literally like just came out, right? Like we did a whole show on AI, but like this early round of AI, it's almost like the picks and shovels during the gold rush. Like it's kind of like the early people who made money when they started panning for gold were the people that literally had the picks and the shovels, that they made the picks and the shovels and sold them. So in this AI world, it's the chip makers, like the microchips are kind of like the pick and the shovel of artificial intelligence, meaning you can't begin to start trying to process that amount of data unless you've got the right microchip in place. And so these tech stocks in general as a group up 59% last year.
They're jumping all over the place.
That was the best performance for tech stocks since 2009. The big winners within technology, the big one was NVIDIA. NVIDIA was up over 200% last year. The next biggest one was AMD, Advanced Micro Devices, another chip maker, up 128%. And we think that's going to continue. We think artificial intelligence is going to continue, but we think it's going to move beyond just the picks and the shovels into bigger parts of the economy moving forward. And also, like I'd say, last year was also a year where there was a reversal of fortune, meaning like if you were down in 2022, you were up big in 2023. When I think about technology, which again was up 50% last year, in 2022, technology was a curse word. Like the stock market was down 18%, but tech stocks were down 40% in 2022, right? And so they went from being the worst investments to being the best investments in the course of a year.
Yeah. And what we're not saying that they're going to continue to be the best investments necessarily, right? We're just saying that things are going to continue to ebb and flow. Every industry is going to continue to have its day. There will be volatility. There will be change. That is how we all make money in the market. But again, we can talk about what happened last year versus what everybody expected. And as we continue to get through the episode, we'll talk more about what we think is coming.
Absolutely. So I was speaking to one of our employees this week. He wanted to know about, actually his mom wanted him to learn about investing in stocks. And we sat down and I was just taking a few minutes to talk to the young man about which stocks he might want to own. And I asked him, you know, what do you like to do? He's like, I play video games. I'm like, what's your favorite video game company? And he said, Sony. I said, well, what if your favorite game, I don't know the names of these games, but let's say the new game was coming out. Like my kids play something called Red Dead. I don't know if you heard of this one.
Isn't there still NBA 2K?
Yeah, there's NBA 2K. And I said, you know, what do these games cost? He said, my favorite game costs about $70. I said, well, what if you found out that your favorite game, the new version was coming out and not at the price of $70, but actually at $50. Would you buy it? He's like, absolutely, yes. And like, that's how we have to think about the stock market, right? Like when we see things go down that we believe in, that we are spending money with, like we spend money as consumers and the price goes down, that's really the time to buy. So if you had done that at the beginning of 2023, you really would have been rewarded.
Yeah, because I do think that sometimes people get it misconstrued, right? Like the company that was up is still the same company, even when the market's down. Right. And to Alan's point, it's still a great, if it was a great opportunity to get in before, it's probably still a great opportunity to get in when it's down, because there is going to be change. There will be rise eventually over time. It's the hope and the expectation. But again, if you thought it was good at one point and you stand behind it and believe in it and the company hasn't changed dramatically, it's probably still good for you to get in there.
Absolutely.
So we're going to continue to talk about the market. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. So we are back.
Yes.
This is our market update. What happened last year on the market? What do we think about it? What are the facts? What are the stats? And what might happen this year?
Although we have a good time, we do expect you all to take us seriously. We are financial advisors. We just like to have a good time from time to time. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, we could be both. Two things can happen.
You see what I'm saying? And I actually think that the information is going to sit with you a little bit better now that we put a little sauce on it. Okay, so it's a little saucy day today. So we forget about some of the bad things that happened last year.
Right, because you just went on and on about all the great things and the rallies and the texts and the AIs, and it was up, wipe me down.
You see what I'm saying?
But what about? Mm-hmm. What about the dark days?
Yeah, we forget that in March of last year.
That was last year.
Yeah, yo, March. It wasn't 3 Marches ago. It was March, like just now March. Silicon Valley Bank.
Signature Bank. First Republic Bank. Banks went under last year.
Failing.
Less than a year ago, banks went under. Alan, I'm telling you, that feels like that was 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was just last year. And so, again, that is horrible, right? Like hearing about literally banks failing, which caused huge losses. There were issues with government bonds. There was just fear of an overall regional banking crisis. Yeah. Some companies were really impacted because they had a lot of their assets in these banks. But 3 banks failed last year.
And can I just say there's always something to be scared about. There's always something to worry about when it comes to investing. And when you see news of a bank failure, perhaps you weren't paying attention the last couple of times that banks fail, but like banks be failing, like it happens, right? But the news is designed to get you excited and nervous, and potentially it scares you out of your opportunities. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. It's like, if you had just invested based on how you felt, you might've missed out. Like you might have felt scared because you saw banks were failing. You might have felt scared because of what the Fed was doing. Yeah, so sometimes you got to stick with it. I think sometimes that's the best thing you can do is kind of stick with it. You know, last year was one of those years where money market funds, like meaning literally putting money in the bank and putting it in cash, paid 5%. And there were so many people like, hey, why would I bother buying stocks when I could just get 5%? By just sitting in cash. And that sounded real good, right? It sounded real good at the beginning of 2023 when we're coming off a year when you lost 18 to 20% in your stock market portfolio. But it doesn't feel so good when you got 5 and everybody else got 26 mm-hmm. or 50 if they were in tech stocks. And that feeling of missing out, that's what's called the opportunity cost of investing. Meaning like I could have made 26, but instead I got 5 because I was scared. Right. And there's always a reason to be scared. And one thing that we always tell our clients, no matter what, just don't get off the ride. Like Tiffany talks about riding the ride. Don't get off, because you'll miss years like that when you start investing based on how you feel. So let's talk about bonds. Bonds are those safe investments that nobody gets too excited about. Right. Bonds are like a loan. It's like a CD or a certificate of deposit at a bank.
Or like I like to say, it's like the vegetables.
Yeah, they're not sexy. Like
it's the vegetables.
I can't recall getting too excited about a vegetable meal. Like,
I mean, lately, I think everybody gets excited about collard greens, first of all.
Yeah, like okay. like not as excited as you get about cake.
The ham.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Right. About okay, you're right.
Like so. Your excitement is tempered when it comes to vegetables. Would you
it's
agree
more
with
like
that?
It's more like you just I hope they're good. I hope somebody did right by the vegetables.
Or at a minimum, they didn't mess them up.
There you go. Right? Yeah. Versus with cake, it's going to be slamming.
You see what I'm saying? So for Christmas this past year, I brought a chef to my house. And this was upon request. But my wife wanted to learn how to make cakes from scratch a bit better.
I'm sorry.
Like she's already a great baker.
When did you do this?
Christmas time.
You ain't said nothing. It's we a month out from Christmas. Christmas was a month ago. We always talk about who's cooking for the holidays, all types of stuff. Yeah. You brought
you
chef
were busy
in.
You were busy getting engaged. Okay?
I ain't had no chef. I still had to cook for myself that day.
Yeah, you were in Mexico.
So
okay,
you
or wherever.
Brought a chef in for Christmas?
Yeah, to do a class with the whole family about how to bake cakes a little bit better. Right. The level of excitement around these cakes. Like I texted my friends like, yo, I got this chef and come through and taste these cakes coming out the oven. My driveway was full. If I had texted like, yo, we got these carrots. Listen, I got these green beans. I got a chef. She is a green bean specialist. Come through.
You don't think they showed up?
No, absolutely not. So there's not, but so much excitement you can have about bonds. But bonds, I want to brag on bonds a little bit. So bonds, again, you give your money, you get your money back plus a little bit of interest, right? Bonds are a loan. Bonds are a very safe way to invest. It wasn't looking so safe in 2022.
Oh, right? Definitely. We mentioned not.
That bonds lost more than 10% in 2022, which was the worst bond market we've had since literally the 1700s, right? And so what I'm getting at is when you had that bad experience, we then went into 2023 and the experience continued to be bad, right? Like by the beginning of the fourth quarter, the bond market was down like 3% for the year. Would you believe that the bond market ended the year up over 5% last year?
Yeah, but I don't think anybody saw that coming.
The little engine that could, it kept on coming. And those safe investments, which actually didn't feel so safe because they were moving around a bunch, they wound up having a really, really strong year. Not only that, bonds, because, you know, again, the Fed pushed interest rates higher, right? That means that if you happen to buy bonds, you get paid a little more than you would normally get. The yields or the interest that you get on bonds today are amongst the highest yields they've been in the last 10 years. And folks were rewarded by being in bonds last year.
Again, like it was a scary time, honestly, for bonds last year. I know we were joking about it was equivalent to both teams losing the Super Bowl last year, but it was an awkward time and people were really, really concerned. And for those who, again, continue to ride it out, you were rewarded.
Yeah, so the bond market, again, last year returned 5.5%. But going into October, the bond market was down 3%. So literally, like, all that return for the entire year was made up in that last quarter of the year. So if you had gotten discouraged three quarters of the way through and said, you know what, I'm throwing in the towel on these vegetables, like, I'm just going to have to just not have any vegetables. Like, you missed out. And, like, that's the thing, like, to Tiffany's earlier point about investing requiring time, like you really got to be in it to win it. And time is one of those big, big factors in investing.
And none of us can afford to skip out on the vegetables, first of all. So that's not an option that we get to have.
I will now accept that. I literally took a pause and did not eat vegetables from 18 to 24.
Oh my God.
So
yeah, again, but you can do stuff like that when you're younger.
When you're young, now, that's a fact.
Now he's out here
locked up.
Dreading every birthday because of it. So
other investments. So cryptocurrency did really, really well last year.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin
in its own way. In its own way. Yeah.
Bitcoin was quite a ride, but Bitcoin was up 155% last year.
Yeah. And Ethereum, I think that's what I say when I say like crypto, right? Like, because we all know there's 450 coins out here or types of crypto, but you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, yeah. Like some of them did well. Others, what happened to them? Where are they?
Yeah, I wish it was only 450 cryptos. There are 23,000 cryptos.
Exactly, right? Yeah, so again, when we say
more cryptos than stocks out there.
When we say crypto is doing well, it is very, very, very relative.
Yeah. One of the big things that happened last year that people got really excited about is this Bitcoin ETF or exchange traded fund that launched. It wasn't just one, it was a bunch. Like the SEC had, you know, basically been figuring out whether to allow Bitcoin to exist in an exchange traded fund version. And when I say ETF or exchange traded fund, all it means is that you can now buy them the way you buy a stock now in a format that will allow a lot more people to invest than who could have invested before this, right? And so because of that, Bitcoin has rallied. Like Bitcoin has rallied a ton in anticipation of this ETF. And then what happens when the ETF comes? Bitcoin starts to go down a little bit. And that's kind of what we're seeing right now. Other investments outside of stocks and bonds, commodities. So last year, oil prices went down by about 7% and gold went up. So some commodities are what's called industrial commodities, right? Like oil is considered to be an industrial commodity, meaning it's used to fire plants and to drive cars and tractors. Other commodities are agricultural, like corn
wheat,
orange juice futures.
I always think that's hilarious. I always think orange juice futures. That should be a rap group. That should be literally, that should be the name of a rap group. Orange juice futures or like a clothing brand like Supreme. Yeah. Like it'll go far, that's really a thing.
Yeah. So 2022, all those food items went way up and now we're not talking about it anymore, right? Inflation's gone way down. And so, you know, these things that were a big worry 2 years ago, not so much of a concern right now. But gold went up last year as well. Gold was up about 12%. And that's one of those precious metals. Gold is primarily used for
falling. Say,
yeah, really, jewelry. Falling. Jewelry. Flexing. Jewelry is the biggest use for gold. Mm-hmm. And people also use it for, you know, financial investment as well.
But so, it's mostly for balling.
It really is. It really is. So we spent a lot of time talking about 2023 and 2022. How about we look in the future? How about we dust off that crystal ball and talk about what we expect, or actually what the market expects? And by the end, we'll talk about what we expect. How about that?
Let's do it.
All right. So first, the R word. And I don't mean R. Kelly.
Uh-oh. Oh, God. We don't bring that word here. We don't bring that word here. This word is it as bad? I don't think it's as bad as R. Kelly.
Yeah.
But it's not great. It's not great either, but recession.
Yeah. R's are just bad right now.
Dang, not all R's. Ravens. Yeah. The Ravens.
Yeah, Ravens are a good R.
That's a good R.
The odds of a recession, according to a recent survey of a bunch of economists, is 50%. Now, I don't think it's that high, but like literally a year ago, it was 70%. Mm-hmm. And what's crazy is like these jokers have been 70% wrong, right? Like did not get a recession like they all expected, which just goes to show like you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
Like sometimes, Tiffany, we hear these forecasts. People are like, you know, in the year 2033, Black people ain't going to have no money. Like, how do you know?
Yeah, right, right.
You're
one,
guessing.
We know all of that. We believe that's foolishness. And you're guessing based on your own speculation. But oftentimes it's on a very, very, very narrow and unexposed view.
Word.
You went to one Target in a Black neighborhood and there wasn't enough food on the shelves. And now you're like, see, this ain't going to work out for them. Like a lot of times it's based off of a very limited and narrow view, but people have a wide and public platform. And so it gets out there, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's true.
Yeah. Like there's experts in a lot of fields. Like if you watch ESPN, you got folks on there every day predicting who's going to win this playoff game, who's going to win the division, who's going to win the Super Bowl. How often are they right? Not most of the time.
Have you been hearing about like how they're saying this Super Bowl is like staged?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, that's people like the Jets fans who are salty that our teams are not in the game. Yeah, it's staged. It's fixed. It's got to be fixed.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is like the recession odds as guessed on by the economists who went to school to study this, who still don't have a crystal ball, who still don't have any way to push the outcome one way or the other, their expectation is that we've got a 50% chance of going into a recession, and that recession should hit kind of later in 2024, in the second half of the year.
Who knows? Who knows? And we'll just have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, what can we do about it?
Nothing. And we've already done a show like, yo, if there is a recession, you could choose not to participate.
You don't have to participate.
My girl, like, hey, it's raining over there. I could pull my umbrella out. Like, I'm good.
I stayed inside anyway. I wasn't even outside.
You see what I'm saying? So even though there is a chance of a recession, it doesn't mean that your life has to end. It doesn't mean that you're going to lose your job. It doesn't mean that you should stop investing. It doesn't mean that you should be scared, because these jokers were wrong last year. Who knows if they're going to be right this year? I digress. So let's talk about inflation. So inflation, you know, nobody's really talking about inflation a whole lot anymore, right? Inflation a year ago was a big, big deal because inflation was at 6.5%. The expectation this year is that we should be down into the twos again. 2.6% is the expectation for inflation. And it was in the nines in 2022.
Listen, see how quickly things can turn around. Spin a block, Jerome Powell, spin a block.
You see what I'm saying? And listen, the Fed has been fighting inflation, right? And what's the Fed's tool for fighting inflation? They raise interest rates, right? They raise interest rates to slow down the economy. The reason why raising interest rates slows down the economy is because it costs more money to borrow.
Right. And, so y'all ain't buying all that house no more. Y'all might chill out a little bit. You might not go ahead and get that car loan because that payment is more than you expected it. And so literally it causes us to slow down on our decision making around spending it causes us probably to not take on as much debt as we would have before. And so I know it just seems like hateration, but you know, there actually is some real strategy there. There is a reason why it happens, because again, we need to pace ourselves, and that controls the pace.
Absolutely. And I will say this, like I unfortunately in the last 45 days have purchased two vehicles.
Jesus, balling.
One for my wife.
Which one is a foreign? Both?
Only both. One was a foreign? Both? Only one? I love my wife, so she got the foreign.
She got the foreign.
Her foreign was probably built. It's a Nissan. It was probably built in America, by the way, but it's still a foreign, and we're going to go with that. And the second one was a work vehicle. We had to buy for one of our dry cleaners delivery van.
It damn sure ain't a foreign.
Yeah, no, that was a domestic, for sure. That car is so ugly. We don't want our employees driving around flossing.
It's a commercial vehicle. Right? It is effective and it's spacious.
And that's
safe.
About it.
And that is about it. What was it like though? So what was it like for you purchasing?
Oh, it's just crazy. Like payments are astronomical on buying a car right now. Right. So like if I were a person with a car that's like, hey, I'm debating on should I, you know, go ahead and replace it right now? Like I would try to hold on, take it to the shop. Right. Because these interest rates, like 7%, 9%, 11%, like that's the type of rates you're seeing on some car loans, especially used car loans. Right. Because these interest rates that the Fed controls are kind of like the cost of capital for a bank, which means every loan that's made from a bank gets tacked on to whatever cost that bank has where they borrow money. So banks are currently paying over 5% when they borrow money. So that means when your buck goes to borrow, it's going to be at least 5% or more.
There you go.
And especially if you're talking about a pre-owned vehicle. I will say right now, new vehicles, sometimes the manufacturers have gone out and done things like go to the bond market to issue bonds. And they issued them maybe like years ago. And so they might have some financing on their books that's at a lower rate. And so sometimes you could find a better deal on a new car right now than you could on used. But either way, interest rates have been high. But the expectation for 2024 is that the sun is going to start to shine again.
Mm-hmm. And y'all going to get back to spending and borrowing.
You see what I'm saying? So rates may be cut as many as 6 times this year.
Jeez.
But as few as 3. But okay. The expectation is that they are going down. So right now, the Fed funds rate is right around 5.5%. And we should be under 4% by the end of the year.
I love that.
You love it, except for one thing. And this is the thing that nobody likes to talk about. The circumstances that caused the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates tends to be because the economy is slowing down. Mm-hmm. It tends to be because maybe there's a recession. Maybe unemployment is starting to rise. And so while we say, you know, we like the idea that we might be able to borrow for a lower rate, we also have to accept the outcome that the economy might be in a worse place.
Okay, but here's the thing. You raise rates so that the economy could slow down. It worked.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Okay. Like this was the whole point. You like exactly what you wanted to happen is happening.
But you know what this reminds me of? You know what reminds me of? You ever be like in the crib and you're trying to get the temperature just right? And so you raise the temperature and now it's like all hot. Now you lower it. Now it's cold. Like that's really what the Fed's kind of doing.
Yeah.
Okay, right? Like they're like moving it up, moving it down. They want the economy moving on just fast enough, not too fast, not too slow.
It's kind of like your homegirls, right? Or your homeboys, depending on your situation. Mm-hmm. They want you to be doing well, but not better than them.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like
you gotta change your friends.
I want to make sure we're all doing good enough that we can all afford our own flight for the trip, but not your house can't be better than mine. Like kids can't be in better schools than mine.
On that note, all right, how about this? I want you to come to my wedding, but you better not outshine me with your dress.
Well, that's law. That's law. And honestly, now that I'm in like in this situation, like I'm, you know, like planning for a wedding and all that. Honestly, I think it's on the bride. If you shouldn't even leave room for anybody to outshine you. That means you was playing small. You was playing small and you opened the door for somebody to do you in at your own wedding. And at that point, just hand her the bouquet. because you did it to yourself.
But it's all, you know, it's subjective.
No, now that I'm like out here dress shopping, the dresses that exist are ridiculous.
What do you mean?
Right? As far as it's like how elaborate, like the train and the beading and like the detail and the intricacy. You saw all these ridiculously elaborate dresses and you came in looking like basic bride 24. Like, then that's what you get. And if somebody outshines you when she didn't have the same options that you had, like they are whole.
Okay. All right. Well, designers. Let me give you another okay. scenario. All right. Let's say your homegirl just broke up with her dude.
Okay.
And she gets the girls together so we could go out on a trip.
Ow.
A girls trip.
Ow.
Because she's trying to get her groove back.
There we go.
And y'all chicks out here trying to outdo me. Like, does she really want to be out there with girls that look better than her, that's attracting the dudes? Or do they want, does she want her girls to be looking run down a little bit so she can shine?
No, here's the thing. You need bait, right? And so, if it's big bait, like there's multiple baits out here, but we all gonna bring it back home, right? Because, you know what I mean? Like, nah, you need, everybody gotta be bad. I'm telling you right now, if this situation happens and women know this and like you, your boyfriend broke up with you, y'all are taking a girls trip, you're not inviting none of the whack girls. You're not inviting any of the whack home girls. The frumpies, they're going to stay home.
Okay. Because low key, the frumpies stay with a man though.
But listen, facts, but they not bringing them in. They not bringing the ones in that you're looking for.
I don't know how we got on this topic. We were talking about the Fed. We're having fun.
Listen, yes, for sure. But no, you bring the baddies out. Because you needed to be effective. You got 3 days to get it done. Okay. So you don't have time to be getting to know each other's personality. I'm just saying, I don't know how we got here, but we'll be back on track after this break. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we are back.
Yes.
Back on track, like the Fed. Okay.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
We got a little off track in our content.
But that's all right. It's okay.
Yeah. We're back where we're supposed to be. Yeah.
We're still wiping you down.
Okay. Or are we? It depends. On what happens. Yeah.
So here's what I want you to think about, like this year. Like, if you see that the Fed is cutting rates more aggressively than expected, it's probably not necessarily a good thing, right? Like, it means that they're seeing something.
They're shook.
Yeah. Right. So like, you always got to take every bit of data with a grain of salt, is what we would say on Wall Street, or in the black community, we might say a side eye.
Yeah. But, and this is also the reason why y'all shouldn't be making these big moves real fast. Right. Like, all things mean something, but they don't mean everything.
Yeah,
and so to Alan's point, right, like if you see the rates coming down pretty aggressively, no, something's up. It's the equivalent of seeing another black person starting to run. Okay. Yeah, that's what
you
that
don't
means.
Ask questions.
You don't ask questions and don't try to figure out what's going on. Just know.
Let me get to the bottom
on.
Of this. Let me walk
something's
towards
going
the
on.
Danger. Yeah, you're so crazy. Yo, Timmy, you're a great co-host. I ain't gonna lie.
Well, ultimately, y'all are gonna
let me be that serious. Like, I can't even be serious if I wanted to be around you.
Nope, I think that's a great analogy. You start running, and ultimately, all of y'all are gonna get to safety. Why? Because y'all all ran.
Yeah. So the good news is that y'all are safe.
There you go.
The bad news is, what was y'all running from?
You see? Doesn't even matter because we're safe.
You see what I'm saying?
We're safe now.
It's both. It could be good and bad.
Both.
And you got some exercise. That's a good thing. You might live longer. But why were we running exactly? All right. So let's talk about the stock market a little bit, expectation wise. So like typically, again, like people have this feeling, oh, last year was up 26. I know it's going to be great this year.
It's about to be crazy.
It don't really work like that. Like yeah. you kind of missed it a little bit. Like,
right.
You can't invest today and get yesterday's return. Like yeah, it's you literally, had to be there yesterday for that.
It's like these people, you know, they keep saying they're going to bring Freaknik back. Yeah. It's not going to help you.
Mm.
It's not going to compensate for what's already happened.
Yeah.
Okay. What's already been done in history, Atlanta history has already been done.
Like they could redo.
Going to a concert and, you know, Lil Uzi Vert or whoever is there. That's not going to get you Luke and what was happening back then.
I can't create a new Cash Money right now.
Facts.
And expect you know it's going to be as hot as it was back then. You can't show up to the venue where Beyonce performed last month and expecting it's just going to be a good concert because there Beyonce was there.
There like, you go.
It might be Billy Joel now. It's still a good concert.
Music is going to be there.
But different.
Here
right?
we go.
So when you invest today, you get tomorrow's returns. You don't get yesterday's returns, right?
Yeah.
And so when we think about the stock market this year, we look at what are all the big banks? What are the economists saying? And the expectations are kind of slim. We're seeing Wall Street expectations anywhere from kind of -5 to like +5. There's a couple of banks that expect maybe we'll get +7, but like nobody's expecting +20.
Correct. Right?
When we look at profit expectations or earnings estimates, the average analyst expects about a 6% growth in profit, right? And ultimately the thing that drives the stock price is profit, right? Like the stock is a combination of both how much profit they're making and also the multiple on that profit. How many times am I willing to pay for a dollar of that company's earnings, right? But the biggest one is the profit. And so if the profit's growing at 6%, all things being equal, the stock market should grow by about 6%. So not a big, big expectation on returns this year, but still good.
Yeah, and still a reason for you to be invested and continue to invest more.
How are people positioned right now? They're positioned like they're still afraid the world's going to fall apart, right? When we look at the average person and what their allocation is to stocks, most people are underweight stocks right now. And that's probably because of the fact that they had 5% returns on their money market funds. And that felt a lot safer. Cash on the sidelines right now is at almost $6 trillion, which is like super high for cash levels.
I do want to say this. Y'all can't see this. This is like behind the scenes. If I can remember, I will post this on our Instagram page. Where we pull this information from, where we do our data and do our research, when it comes to investor positioning, they have like a emoji up here and it's an angry bear. It's the funniest.
It's like thing a I've sad, ever. Angry bear.
It's like a sad, angry. He's like depressed. All his ears are down.
Yeah. I think the bear's like girlfriend left him or something.
It's very, he definitely needs a boys trip for sure. I just laugh because if investor positioning was different, would it be a happy bull?
Yeah, I think so. It would be.
Which, who's ever, what does that even look like?
We'll design one.
And a happy bull? Okay.
Yeah, we'll design one.
All right.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of people are still sitting in cash.
Mm-hmm.
5% still feels really good. But guess what Jerome's about to do?
There we go with these rates. Yeah.
He got the giant scissors. He's about to cut them.
Mm-hmm.
Your price is way too high. You need to cut them. You need to cut it. Your yields on cash are way too high. You need to cut them. So that's what Jerome's going to be doing this year. And we all know Jerome sounds like
a black
man, the type of person you want at your cookout, but
he's not.
Maybe you want him at the cookout now. Now
no.
that he's making, well, not if you got a bunch of cash in the bank.
Exactly.
Now you're mad. Now you're mad
exactly.
again.
He's not your friend for real.
Yeah. Yeah. If you got a bunch of cash, it'd be the equivalent of Jerome putting either raisins or grapes in your potato salad.
Yeah, you got to go. You got to go.
At the same time, if you are a person who wants to refinance their mortgage.
Or you're looking to buy a house.
You see what I'm saying? And
he got the bomb peach cobbler.
You see what I'm saying? He's invited to the cookout.
There you go. He fries his turkey.
So other things that's going on, the labor market is still very strong, but it is getting a little weaker. not like a lot weaker, like a little weaker. So we started 2023 and unemployment was at 3.5%. Now it's 3.7%. Okay. Like that's like hardly any change, but it is a little bit worse. Okay. There are over 1.9 million people on unemployment right now.
Which doesn't necessarily mean they can't work.
Yeah.
It just might mean that some of them don't want to right now.
Yeah, I do know some jokers are like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and ride this thing out for a little
Max,
bit.
This
I
is
got
what
a side hustle working.
This is
if
what
I could
I'm saying.
File and I could, you know what I'm saying, flip these.
There we go.
These meal preps.
This is why I pay taxes. For y'all to help me out from time to time. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm saying. So there are some nuances to these numbers when we talk about the labor market. But there are no nuances to what's about to happen this year in regards to a presidential election.
Yeah, and this is
wild.
Troubling.
Wild. This is insane. I don't even... The fact that there are no candidates...
candidates.
Who? We don't got no hope, right? Like, what was Obama? Can Obama run again? And I'm being serious.
Yeah,
like,
no,
can he spin a block?
No,
because What about Michelle?
Michelle can run
because it's not for the household. It's just
the issue is within the Democratic Party, like nobody can run. Nobody can even pretend to be about to run as a Democrat.
No, that's what I'm saying. At this point.
While you've got a sitting Democratic president, right? So like he would literally need to say, I'm not running. And then the field could open up. So like as much as, you know, Michelle might want to run one day, like
but
it's
she
not
doesn't.
An option.
She doesn't want to run. She looks happy. She doesn't want to run. So we're just kind of stuck. Are you concerned? Like in your own personal life, we'll talk about the market, but are in your own.
Well, let's give the stat. We're like acting like they know the stat. So the expectation right now is that there's a 47% chance that Donald J. Trump will return to office, which I think is like crazy.
Honestly, I think that's low.
You think it's higher than 47% chance?
I think it's higher because a couple of things have to happen, right? Like, Biden has to survive. And that's always tricky. Can he debate? Can he debate?
Biden?
Can he get on stage for an hour?
Like, make it onto the stage without tripping and falling.
Word, and stay up and answer the questions and debate.
Yeah. I mean, he did it the first time around. Like, he
was
strong.
That was before.
That was 17
before.
Years ago.
Have you seen him lately? Have you seen him lately?
Yeah, like, I mean, look. Yeah, the thing about being president, like every year is like 2 or 3 years on you. And like Joe ain't got 2 or 3 years to be spending like that. So, I think the chat, like here's the thing that shocked me the most. Like when they had the Iowa caucuses, they asked a bunch of questions and it was like a significant percentage of the Iowa voters, actually the majority of the Iowa voters, thought that Biden didn't legitimately win the election. And that really shocked me because I thought, this is what I thought Trump supporters were basically saying to themselves. Okay, I know that he lied about the election being stolen from him, but I'm okay with that. I know that he's responsible for January 6th, but I'm gonna let that slide and I'm gonna vote for him anyway. That's what I thought Trump supporters were saying. But what they're actually saying is, you know what? Trump was right. And that's the thing that scares me the most.
That's wild.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, with a presidential election, I will say it does cause volatility in the stock market, especially while it's very uncertain and like 47%, while it sounds kind of certain, is really a coin toss, right? I will say like there's a chance to make it go one way or the other still. But I'm saying the market really views, a presidential election as a source of volatility until it becomes a lot more clear who's the front runner. And right now, it's almost anybody's guess, but there is more of a chance that Trump would win. And if that concerns you, then you got to get out and do something about it. You got to register jokers to vote. You got to just, campaign, donate some money.
Pay your taxes.
Start a rally.
It's all
do
types
something.
Of stuff. Do something.
Yeah.
But it does have an impact on the market. And so typically, again, the uncertainty just leading up to the election causes for a lot of volatility in the market. It gets a little spicy. But honestly, what tends to happen is really it doesn't matter more or less who becomes president. Once there's just certainty around who we're dealing with, the market tends to just kind of like chill. Again, because there's less uncertainty. You might be uncertain about your freedom, but like there is no longer a concern about who it's going to be. And now we are dealing with the reality and it causes the market to kind of just kind of like calm down a bit.
Great. So we're in the home stretch. We've given the market views. We're just going to give you some of our views. I mean, for one, I'm super excited about 2024. I think that the chances of a recession are probably lower than what the market's expecting.
Yeah.
I think the stock market could potentially do a bit better than what the market is expecting, better than that plus five, minus five. I'm also excited about bonds. Like bonds, nobody gets excited about, but like for the first time in a long time, I'm excited about eating my vegetables. And if you don't have enough vegetables on your plate, now's a great time to be thinking about adding some to the mix.
Especially because they're frying vegetables now. So it's getting exciting.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. And then the final thing I'll say is like AI. Like AI has the potential, and we did a whole show on AI, not Allen Iverson, and it has the potential to be as groundbreaking as the internet. It has the potential to be as big as when they started slicing bread back in the day when Tiffany was a kid. It just has the potential to be big, and it's not like a theme that started and ended in 2023. We think it's going to have more and more uses and applications throughout the economy, and I want to make sure that we don't miss that opportunity.
I agree. So that is our informed perspective. This is what has happened, what we think may be happening, and how to think about it.
If you need to talk, if you want to talk, go to our website, momentum-advisors.com. Go to the Contact Us page and schedule an appointment. And guess who'll show up? Alan and Tiffany.
In the meantime, yes, only ever on the phone.
At your door with baked bread in a basket.
And you better have the bread and the basket. So in the meantime, we'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Show.